Okay, it is February 9th, 2007, and we are here in Berkeley, California, at an oak grove that is being threatened by the University of California. And here are some people that have been standing in solidarity with the oak grove for over 2 months now. And let's hear what they have to say.
I would just like to say thank you for having us on and for making sure that voices are heard, first of all. And second of all, if you can come out to the Oak Grove, it's just below Memorial Stadium. And we always have a good time. There's always music and laughing and fun. And it's really more about, I think, helping people to understand that our Earth needs to be saved because we're killing it. So, yeah, at least that's what I'm here for, to try to enliven people's consciousness.
So what is the college's plan? Is to build a gymnasium here?
Yeah, essentially they want to, this is the first step in a plan that's going to retrofit the southeast side of campus. And what they're trying to do is basically put up executive suites after they build the sports facility. And then they're, aside from that, they're building two new towers. I would like to build two new towers for the business and law schools and connect them with a causeway that would act as an executive summit, like a business executive summit. And then they're also building a 900-car parking garage on like what used to be Bolt Hall and the field, the rugby field. And so we're really trying to keep the university from being corporatized, I guess you could say. That's, I guess, one of my goals is being from being here.
Can you give us some background about the efforts to resist these plans?
Well, there was a bunch of planning way before any of the sits happened by a couple, I'm not sure the names, but by a bunch of students, I believe, and by just, I guess, conscious-minded citizens that went through these things called ERIs, or was it, ERIs, which are environmental impact reports. And so they got this whole thing moving, and then there was a push to sort of get some actual direct action going on to help save the trees. And then we got, on December 2nd, three people went up, I believe. I think it was somewhere around three people, but some of our sitters actually, the first female sitter we actually had was up in a tree for in excess of 10 hours with nothing, just because the cops wouldn't let us put anything up. So she was just standing up in a tree, just holding herself up there. But obviously we've gotten a bit more sophisticated as things have gone on. So from there, from December 2nd on, it's basically just been people staying here and staying in the trees.
What kind of resistance have the police and other kind of authorities given you all?
Well, they come by every day at least, I don't know, X amount of times, but generally like once every hour, 2 hours, and kind of just check out camp, make sure, you know, things are the same, and I don't even really know why exactly they come by, but they do. They broke down camp once, or the base camp anyway. They came up with bulldozers and with like a dump truck and stuff like that, and actually didn't do any work themselves. They hired a bunch of strong arm, like, you know, middle-aged men in sweats with beer guts and stuff to come and haul all of our stuff away, and they literally just tore everything down and just junked everything. I mean, there was a shrine with a Buddha, and they threw away the Buddha. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I just think that's kind of a point to make, that they would kind of junk a religious figure. But.
Has tree sitting ever happened before in Berkeley, do you know?
I don't know of any previous tree sits in Berkeley. I mean, obviously, Berkeley has a huge, huge long history of activism, but I'm not sure about tree sits, no.
What kind of community support has this effort received so far?
We're actually getting awesome community support. Like, people are coming by and dropping off food all the time. There's like regular people that, you know, we don't not necessarily expect, but that we know to expect, I guess you could say, who come by and drop off food and drop off like warm milk at night sometimes for the tree sitters, and you know, like, we're getting a lot of clothing and a lot of extra climbing gear. And like tarps for the rain and stuff like that, and like instruments even. It's really cool.
How can the community continue to support this effort?
I guess the first step for anyone to really help us out is just come hang out. Like, you don't have to bring anything. You don't have to come with any expectations. Just come and see what it's all about. And really not even what the protest is all about, just what this grove is all about. Just come and hang out and, you know, like, just run around and be crazy and human.
So this is going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
As far as I know, yeah. Yeah.
Right on. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Keep on rocking this radio station. Keep listening, for sure.
Cool, well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, man.
I think they're doing a good thing trying to save the grove. I guess they've been up here something like 5 months or something, I'm not sure. I've only been here 4 days, so I don't know much about it. But it seems like good people are trying to do something that they believe in. I guess that's it.
What motivated you personally to come out here?
I was invited up here by Ricker, who's been up here for a while, I guess. I just got into Berkeley, and he said that they were doing something up here, so that if I wanted to get involved, to come on up. So I did.
So what do you think of all this now that you've been here?
I think it's good. I think that, you know, people have been getting along well, and that they've been handling themselves well, and that it's been getting a lot of the fact that it's been getting a lot of media. You know, the mayor's slightly involved, or at least is supportive of it and whatnot. I think that that's a positive aspect.
So do you think there's hope for these trees?
Don't know. That's the thing that we'll find out with time, probably. But there's a possibility. I mean, it could go either way. It's hard to say. Hopefully they stay. We'll see.
Can you think of anything that the community here in Berkeley could do to help support this effort even more?
I think they've been doing what they can do. They could do more of the same, but I think that they've been supportive of it. Like I said, the mayor, I guess, was up here one day, and he's supportive of it, so I think it's been going well.
Right on. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
That's it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hi, this is Journey. We're here at the Oak Grove because we think trees are people too.
So what's been going on here?
I was up in a tree for a month. I've been down for a little while now. I'm going to head out soon, do some other stuff. I don't know. It's really cool. I guess it's like the first successful urban tree sit, so it's like everybody's excited about it. About a month ago, like Friday morning, like 3 bulldozers and trucks came in and like took all of our stuff, all our tarps and food and everything. And then like a week or two after that, in court, they said that we have a good chance of winning, so that they'll like put up an injunction or whatever. So now we have to wait like 3 to 6 months or something for the actual court case for the final decision.
And what's that looking like at this point?
We think it should be wrapped up, but you never know, I guess. I don't know. There's a lot of other stuff going on. Like, school wants to put up some kind of crazy fence all along the canyon now. And, I don't know, there's a lot of things to get involved with that are going on.
So what motivated you personally to get involved with this?
Oh, I love tree sitting. I wanted to go out and sit in one of the Humboldt County sits. Then I heard about this, I got an email about this, so I came down here, and I've been here since.
So how does this compare to other tree sits you may have been?
Well, this is like, it's in the middle of the city, so it's really noisy, and it's not like the air is not as clean, and it's not as relaxing. Like the other tree sit I was in, days would just go by so fast, and it's just awesome. This is kind of like, it's good, but it wears on you. You know, you need to like get recharged in nature and stuff. So I went up into the woods and tried to like get a little nature in me, and I woke up in the middle of the night and there was a skunk right there and it sprayed me right in the eyes. And then I come back here, and on the way back here I get harassed by the cops for looking suspicious or something. And then I made it back here finally.
So how have the cops been treating this effort so far?
There's been like a handful of tickets and a couple of arrests, But I don't think, they said nobody has gotten convicted yet, so everything has gotten off.
Are these trespassing tickets?
Yeah, trespassing. I guess that's all they were.
So is it efforts to intimidate the people that are here?
Yeah, I guess they just, there's, I mean, it's like, it's a legal protest. We're, it's unconstitutional to cut these trees because it's a law in Berkeley. You can't cut oak trees, and, you know, so we have the right to like, keep the law enforced while we're waiting for the courts to finish up with their stuff and, like, you know, tell everybody we're right. So we're just holding up the Constitution by being here.
So, do you think it's going to be the Constitution that it's going to come down to, or is it the people in the trees that's going to help save these trees?
Well, I guess the court, like the lawyers and stuff, will be the ones that'll make it come through. But like, if we weren't here, they would have just gone along with their plans, and then they would have been like, "Oh, fine us later. We don't care." The Berkeley school owns 35% of this town, of this city. And they just do whatever they want, and they don't have to pay taxes for anything, so everybody's kind of gets upset with that. And they're just like, they want to grow and take over and do everything. I mean, Berkeley's a pretty nasty school. They got like a nanotechnology lab, they've got an animal testing lab, they've got a nuclear projects lab. They're like, I don't know, they're not like very open-minded, liberal kind of thing. They're not very progressive. They're just like, blah. You know?
So, do you have any more comments you'd like to add about your experiences here?
I guess not. It's been a great experience. I love it. It's awesome. Everybody should get active.
Right on. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
I'm not really sorry, but you know how these things go.
So, I guess you could tell us your experiences here.
Well, is there any pertinent information you want to begin with, such as my name, et cetera, or my affiliation here? Or?
That's completely your choice.
Okay, my name's Tom Skotarek, Thomas with an I, Skotarek. My affiliation has been essentially ground crew since about the 26th or 27th of December. I arrived here, and I've been here since. And interspersed with that, I've been working on a couple films, a CD. So I've been really busy with this in particular because I put a lot of time and effort into it. I don't know. It's not only been a wonderful experience, but it's a wonderful cause, and I think it's a message. Moreover, the grove and the oaks is the key element to the issue. However, I think moreover, we've also rung a bell for civil protest and standing up to corporate interests and, stopping the slaughter of our ecology in our world, essentially. And I think it's kind of been, a call out. I mean, with the media attention that we got, I thought was very important on not only a national but an international level, that people could stand up for an unjust cause, you know, or not for a just cause against an unjust cause and pretty much maintain and actually do something with it.
So how did this begin? How did people hear about this and come out and start this whole tree set?
Well, for this, I would refer to Zachary Taylor, Running Wolf. He'll be running for mayor. He's run for mayor in the past. Essentially, they caught wind of what was going on, and the December the 2nd, the day of the big game here at the stadium, he and Jessica went up the trees and basically announced, the legal protest of the cutting of this grove on. Because essentially they had discovered what they were trying to do was slide it under the rug and get this done before anybody noticed that it was going to be built on a seismically faulty, bit of land and and essentially there was a lot of money in the works. There was a coach that they want to bring here because they want to evolve their sports curriculum here and their standing in sports on a collegiate level. And there was a coach that stand to make literally millions and millions of dollars for like a 4 or 5 year contract, I believe. And one of his stipulations was to build a building specifically here. And, you know, I think Running Wolf in the end will be proved out right, because we just recently got some information from an unnamed UC archaeologist professor that somewhere in this area, and very possibly on this site, is like essentially an Indian burial ground, that they decimated some of it in building the arena. And so I feel that you can't come here and not know that this is holy land. I mean, my being here, I think, was a spiritual calling. And I think when you come here, if you take the time to feel what's here, you'll get a sense of that. It seems like a holy place. And, you know, on an ecological basis and an aesthetic basis, is if we keep destroying places like this in our suburbia and our urban environment, you know, there'll be less solace, less places to get peace and enjoy things like this. You know, we would hate to see this be a diminishing part of our world, you know, our suburban world. And as I said, essentially it's built on, it's on a fault line. And thus far we fared very well. We won the temporary injunction against them building or doing anything here. And meanwhile, they're wrangling this out in court because UC's trying 9 directions to 1 to find a way to have the excuse to fence it off and extricate us. Mainly, not so much to do their building at this time, but to bring media attention away from something that they maybe shouldn't have been doing.
Wow. So how have people here in the Berkeley community responded to this?
The community response and the response on so many levels with ecological groups that have represented us, or this grow, you know, I there is no us here. We're mainly facilitating, I think, a spiritual call here. I mean, us taking care of these people in the trees, you know, the people locking down this grove and protecting it, there's got to be a greater reason for that. I mean, you know, on the face it seems silly, but underneath there's some serious issues at hand. I didn't recall the question exactly. I think I went on a tangent on you.
About the Berkeley community and other people supporting.
That'd be overwhelming. I can't even begin to say how overwhelming that was. The day after the raid, the day of the raid, we started receiving donations, and we were essentially set back up that very day and able to take care of the people in the trees, able to feed them, etc.
Can you describe the raid and what effect it had on the camp here?
There had been a very cold spell of weather, cold and partially rainy off and on, but extremely cold. And it actually is the coldest night in 4 years, as history tells. And I have like 2 plates of titanium and 27 screws in my leg, so the steel gets very cold. But we post a 24-hour guard here. We're always watching. We're always, you know, ready to deal with the police or what come what may. We deal with a lot of things here. So there's always somebody up to deal with it, etc. So I had been basically up on night guard, and I had laid down in my sleeping bag, moreover, to warm this leg than to sleep. So I was lying there. It was probably, I don't know, 5:30-ish. It getting dark much later than it may have been, even towards 6, but I think between 5 and 6. And suddenly we just see droves of them coming down the steps. They literally, you know, they encircle us through a megaphone. They start spouting information that you couldn't even hear for the people yelling at you to gather your things and go, blah, blah, blah. And literally at that time, one of my functions was to immediately get on the phone and activate our Action Alert Network. So I had some phone calls to make, to call people, to get people here, to get the media here, etc. And they literally grabbed that list of phone numbers out of my lap, at which point I became very vexed, and I said that they were in violation of illegal seizure of private property, and that I would file on them if they did not give me those phone numbers back. And I used a number of expletives. I was quite upset. And they essentially told me at that point, well, gather your things and get off the property or you're under arrest. So I had no choice in the interest of what I had to do, which is make phone calls, to say I'm complying. I threw my hands up in the air and said I'm complying, gathered my things, went down, started making the phone calls. But they, in fact, gave AIR the phone numbers back by the end of the cleanup proceedings here. They made a number of mistakes on that day, including claiming to treat this as a crime scene, the illegal seizure of all that property, endangering the welfare of the people in the trees, obviously. If we can't feed them, you know, how are they supposed to live? And essentially put in two front-end loaders, put in two dump trucks, right? Even meanwhile, while we're telling them that's our property, you're welcome to put it right down here on the sidewalk, you know, give us our stuff. And subsequently, they've made just stipulations up the yang about why not to give certain property back and a lot of things. Basically, I have no idea what they did with this stuff. But they also, in treating it, claiming to treat it as a crime zone, a crime scene, they bagged and tagged nothing. In other words, they don't have any documented, you know what I'm saying, any documentation on their activities of that day in regards to the seizure. And they consistently are under orders, and I don't blame the UC police for what they do when they come out here. They're consistently under orders, and they do wage a campaign of a harassment and intimidation, particularly it may come to the transient guests that come through here, even old women, students, etc. And they literally, we've corrected them a number of times, you know, sometimes they do it right, sometimes they don't. But essentially they try to make somebody feel, they demand their ID under the stipulation of the ID, or you could be under arrest for trespassing. Well, that's wrong on many levels. The reason that the trespassing citations have been thrown out of court, which they only issued to people that were in the trees, is because essentially they don't have a foot to stand on. When they say that you're trespassing or you're lodging here, etc., right, this is erroneous information because, number one, this is essentially public domain, and number two, we're a legal and announced public protest. You know what I'm saying? So they do this on a daily basis. They do a lot of intimidation. And I mean, they need to be stood corrected on that. That's, nobody's trespassing here and nobody's lodging. There's no other way to deal with this situation than what we're doing. And we have so far done it very efficiently. We've generally maintained a very good rapport and facade with the public and the local citizenry and the media. And we've had a lot to deal with and have actually done very well with it. And so at this point, that's what we're trying to maintain, too. There's a lot of legal wrangling going on. So we feel that it's very possible that they may raid again at some point here. So, you know, we're essentially trying to stand ready and maintain a good ambience here in regards to, I mean, you have no idea how much we do here. In the time that I've been here, I deal with the public, I deal with the police, I deal with the people here. Sometimes you have to kick ne'er-do-wells out. You know, we try to keep it a drug-free, an alcohol-free situation for obvious reasons. You know, I mean, we're representing a just cause and we want to act justly. You know, and they are looking for any given excuse that they can make up. Basically, when they raided, they claimed safety issues, etc. So it's a wonder that they would claim safety issues and yet endanger the people's lives, not only on the ground, but in the air, by illegally seizing all that property that we needed to take care of these people. I mean, rain clothing, sleeping bags, you know, everything. It takes a lot to run this. And we see to their needs. I mean, at all hours of the night, if somebody says they want tea, they get tea. You understand what I'm saying? That's how this works. And so, you know, I thought that was interesting. And the legal wrangling is far from over. Really, I mean, what we've seen so far, the temporary injunction and the wrangling that they're doing now, UC's trying to essentially build, they want to build a fence around the entire arena area, including this. Basically, what they're trying to do is come in sideways for any way that they can get to fence this in, because there's already been an injunction against them doing anything of that nature. Essentially, the injunction is in specifically into altering the land in any way. So they're trying that angle. And lately, it seems like the police have been escalating their intimidation a little bit. But you know, all we can do is either correct them. And plus, we do have weekly meetings that the higher up people with more money and people that are involved with the lawyers, we meet once a week. So we discuss what we need to do and how we need to deal with their actions and our actions, you know. We have discussions about how all this goes and how it runs and what lawyers we might need to talk to in regards to their behavior, like particularly. Yeah.
In what ways can the community get involved beyond just coming down here and showing support?
I feel that the keynote of what we're doing is to turn up the volume, is to communicate, you know, and we've done that very well in what we've done here. But what we're relating to people is that by communication you can change things, and this means, you know, beyond taking a physical stand as we're doing in this situation, literally getting in the trenches, you can write letters. You can write letters to the regents. You can write letters to the chancellor. You can write letters to Schwarzenegger. You can write letters to the federal government about this issue, about not only this issue, but ecological issues in general that we need to start dealing with if we want our children's children to breathe. Perhaps even our children, if we want fish in the ocean, if we want enough trees to produce air in the future. We may be looking at a very dismal future in terms of our health and our being able to live in our atmosphere.
Can you talk about the interconnectedness between ecological issues, issues involving humanity here in Berkeley, and other such issues that you've been raising?
Well, like I said, what's happening here has implications on so many stratas. There's so many levels involved. And I don't mean to say that the trees are unimportant, because they're of primary importance. But, I mean, substratas to that would be political and social activism, and activism against corporate interests, that their only interest is in creating problems to claim to have the solution for, to create a consumerist cycle in its ills and pills, you know, like Big Pharma, for instance. You know, it's let's make people sick so we can claim to heal them, you know, just let's sell them out on both ends of the deal here. And we need to start waking up to what's being done to us, you know, and what we're doing to our world and how that affects us. There are people that don't care, that simply don't care, because all that matters is power and money over our value of human life at this point is ridiculous. It's simply ridiculous. It's ridiculous how people treat each other in terms of people, you know, valuing materialism over the aesthetics of communication and actually getting along and working together. And we've created a society. And I mean, they're brilliant for doing it, but it's essentially a plan to basically pit everyone against each other, you know? And it would make so much more sense if we worked together. If we worked together, there are so many better ways that we could be doing the things that we're doing now. All these cars, all this building, all the cutting down of wood, is it truly necessary at this point to cut down wood? Don't we have the means to build synthetically? I mean, we have enough waste matter on this planet to feed and house and enough stuff in warehouses to literally give the entire population of the Earth everything it could possibly need for over 200 years, probably. I mean, we have so much stuff. Why more? You know, why kill these trees for a gymnasium? Take a walk, for the love of God. Take a walk through the woods.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't even know if I'm making sense.
Right on. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed that.